Hello and welcome to Summer Rise. I'm Roshan Mohammed Salih. The increasing trend of foreign Muslim visits to Jerusalem al-Quds is proving very controversial. The Secretary General of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation paid a visit to the occupied city at the beginning of January. Some Palestinians say that those coming to their city from outside Palestine should only come to liberate it from Israeli occupation. They say that Israeli permission needs to be sought for the visits, and this legitimizes the occupation. But others have urged Muslims from all around the world to visit Al-Aqsa to confirm that the mosque is a part of their faith. So on today's show, we'll ask, should Muslims living outside of Palestine visit Al-Aqsa Mosque? But first, here's our correspondent Mona Kandil with a report on what Palestinians think about this issue.
The third holiest site in Islam, Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, Al-Quds, has been under Israeli occupation along with the holy city since 1967. Palestinians from the occupied West Bank and Gaza Strip are only allowed to visit Al-Quds after obtaining special Israeli permissions, the same as Muslims from around the world. Muslims who visit the site, which remains under Israeli occupation, are seen by many Palestinians as legitimizing Israeli occupation. Many say that the liberation of Jerusalem Al-Quds and Al-Aqsa Mosque is a duty of every Arab and every Muslim all over the world.
Al-Aqsa Mosque and Palestine are under the Zionist occupation, and when Muslims and Arabs want to visit the Al-Aqsa Mosque, they are only allowed to enter through Israeli-controlled borders and checkpoints. We hope that our brothers choose not to visit the Al-Aqsa Mosque under these circumstances, in fear of these visits could be considered as normalization with the occupation.
These visits won't lead to any results or lead to changing the situation of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. The visitors are only allowed to visit Jerusalem and Al-Aqsa Mosque after receiving specific permits, and definitely the Israeli soldier humiliates the visitors on checkpoints. We really hope that when the visitors come, we would be able to receive them with Arab Islamic stamps on their passports, Islamic and Arab police with Islamic flag and Arab language.
There has been an increasing trend of Muslim visits to Jerusalem Al-Quds recently. The Secretary General of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, Iyad bin Amin Madani, paid a visit to the occupied city earlier this month. Here, many welcomed the visit to the iconic mosque that is considered something Muslims have long been deprived of, while others rejected these visits. Some consider they would definitely empower the Palestinians and provide them with the support and strength to continue their legitimate struggle against the Israeli occupation.
The status of Al-Aqsa Mosque is clearly explained in a hadith that reads, people are not to travel except to three mosques, the Sacred Mosque and my mosque in Medina and Al-Aqsa Mosque. Hence, we encourage Muslims to visit Al-Aqsa, especially in these difficult circumstances, and while the Israeli occupation tries to Judaize Al-Quds and also the Al-Aqsa Mosque. This is why Muslims visit the Al-Aqsa Mosque and come to support the Palestinian worshippers in the Holy City and to preserve the sanctities in the face of the brutal Israeli aggression.
Though traveling to Al-Aqsa Mosque is originally recommended, the Palestinians here hope that Muslim visitors should consider the benefits and harms of visiting this sacred place. The current statutes of Al-Aqsa Mosque should be seriously assessed, as not only the Al-Aqsa Mosque is occupied by the Israelis, but also Al-Quds. Mona Kandil for The Sun Will Rise, Jerusalem, Al-Quds.
To discuss and debate if Muslims should visit Al-Aqsa while it's under Israeli occupation, we have two guests in the studio with us today. Masoud Shajre is the chair of the London-based Islamic Human Rights Commission and believes that Muslims outside of Palestine shouldn't go to Jerusalem al-Quds. And Shamil Jorda is from Friends of Al-Aqsa, an NGO which is concerned with defending the human rights of Palestinians and protecting the sacred Al-Aqsa sanctuary. Shamil has visited Al-Aqsa himself and believes that Muslims living in the West should visit the holy site. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming in today. Masoud, if I can start with you, I'd just like you to kind of set out your position on this. You don't believe that Muslims should go?
No, I don't. I actually think that, you know, it would recognize the occupation. I mean, if you get permission to go and visit Al-Aqsa from the occupiers. You're legitimizing the occupation. I find it very difficult to sort of see what would be the legitimate reason, except if we want to find out what's going on. And today, with all the communication operators, we really don't need to get up and go there. We could find out exactly what's going on, and we will also be able to pass that information to everyone and ask everyone to support it.
Shamil, you disagree?
Yes, although obviously we respect the decision not to go, but we come from a pragmatic approach. We think that first off, we separate people into two categories: Muslims who live in majority Muslim countries and those who don't. We believe those who are in Muslim majority countries should refrain from going to Masjid al-Aqsa, and the rest should actually, we encourage people to actually visit. Then the reason for not visiting is very similar to has already been expressed, that these Arab countries, majority Muslim countries, already have unofficial relationships with Israel. They may profess that they do not like Israel's policies, but the reality is they have these relationships already. The Gulf Cooperation Council in 2011 had indirect exports of $6 billion. So there's already that relationship. But what would happen if these Muslims from these countries were to visit often, those relationships would be used an excuse by those the states, the leaders of the states, to legitimize those relationships openly.
So what's the difference between Western Muslims and Muslims in Muslim majority countries?
Yes. So Muslims in the West, our governments already have these open relationships with them. So we're advocating for people to go. So when they go there and come back, they become stronger advocates. We've seen historically every single time someone from the UK has gone to Palestine, seen it for themselves, when they come back, they advocate the cause of Palestine much more stronger than just simply just visiting on the, visiting the World Wide Web.
Masood, just bring you in there. Do you get that?
I disagree because I think that the responsibility is not on the government. You know, it's not the case that Muslims in majority Muslim governments have got sort of anything to say regarding the governments, that if they do or they don't, it would make a difference. There's no empowerment in the Muslim world. But also, I think the issue goes back to individual responsibility. I think it's really sad to say that the only way we will actually sort of respond according to our responsibility towards Masjid al-Aqsa and indeed Palestinians is if we go down there and see it for ourselves. You know, I don't need to go and see.
But what about the question of solidarity? I mean, isn't that what the Israelis want? Is they want Muslims to not think about Al-Aqsa?
Yeah, they don't want them to not think about Al-Aqsa, but they don't want them to go. I mean, you know, by going down there, you don't actually have solidarity. What you could do to have solidarity is to have demonstration, to boycott Israeli goods. Every other week there is a demonstration for the prisoners, Palestinian prisoners. Only 10 or 20 people come, and majority of them non-Muslim. Now, the reality is that we need to rise up to these challenges. Mm. When the Palestinians see us in the streets day in, day out, demonstrating for their right, that will actually help them to boost their morale. When they see we're boycotting Israeli goods, instead of going to every shop corner and see Israeli goods and even dates, you know, during the month of Ramadan, or all the goods are being sold. That is actually what we need to address, not, you know, getting a handful of our community going to.
Shamil, I will let you come back in. I'm actually also going to ask you about your own personal visit to Al-Aqsa and how that transpired, but in a few minutes, because we're going to go to a report now, because your views and your comments are an integral part of this show, and we always try to prioritize your input on our social media pages. So here's Camelia Shambayati with what you've been saying about Muslim visits to Al-Aqsa and other Palestinian news.
Hello and welcome to the Social Media Roundup. The question on whether Muslim tourists visiting Masjid al-Aqsa legitimizes Israel is a much contested issue, and people have been very vocal about their views online. Jafar from the UK shared his thoughts on Facebook. He said, "Muslims from around the world should visit Masjid al-Aqsa. However, they need to apply extreme discipline and caution not to spend a cent in the Israeli economy. During their visit, they should also raise awareness about the Israeli occupation by recording the events they encounter. On the other hand, others have argued against visiting Masjid al-Aqsa. For example, Abbas from the US says, "Absolutely not, not while it's under Israeli control. I wouldn't ever consider visiting my home village in Lebanon when it was under Israeli occupation. I'd never deal with the indignity of crossing an Israeli checkpoint." And making a historical point, Kashif from the UK also agrees. He says, "The consensus amongst our Palestinian allies is that we shouldn't visit under the Israeli occupation, but support the resistance to restore all of Palestine. Remember, Masjid al-Aqsa was under occupation for 88 years during the Crusades, and no one visited until the invaders were driven out." Some interesting mix of views there. Moving on, the global web movement, Avaaz, are running an online petition against Facebook. According to their campaign, Facebook were running ads for illegal Israeli settlements, despite the fact that their guidelines say it's prohibited to advertise illegal products. The campaign urges people to call on Mark Zuckerberg to ban the settlement ads. And finally, a hashtag initiative called Hashtag Vote Palestine, set up by the UK-based Palestine Solidarity Campaign, has been launched as an opportunity to challenge politicians to support Palestine in the lead-up to the general election in May. They're encouraging people to quiz their parliamentary candidates to find out who would support Palestinian human rights if elected to parliament. They want to make sure voters can make an informed choice about how to vote in order to support Palestine. And that's all the social media news I have for you. Please do check out our Facebook and Twitter pages to keep up with the latest on the show and where you can tell us your views.
Shamila, I believe you went to al-Aqsa a few years ago. I'm not exactly sure when, but in the recent past. How did that visit transpire? How did you get in? How was your experience?
Sure. I went through Jordan, Allenby Bridge, crossed over. Obviously was detained for a substantial amount of time, taken to a separate room, asked to...
Israeli checkpoint, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Asked to obviously take the battery out of my phone, quiz for a number of hours.
What questions were you asked?
Where do I live? What do I do for work? What's my position in the UK? How do I meet my wife?
How did you meet your wife?
How did I meet my wife? Where does she live? Okay, so if she lives there and you live there, how did you guys meet? What did your dad do? So what's it like for Muslims in the UK? Et cetera. It went on for a number of hours, well, a day, until finally, somehow, alhamdulillah, let me through.
And then you went to al-Aqsa, and were you free to, when you were actually on the compound, the Haram al-Sharif,
yeah,
you're free to wander around, you're free to pray?
Yeah, once I got through the Israelis, unfortunately, at the gate of Masjid al-Aqsa, where they ask you to recite, ask if you're Muslim, etc., you finally get through to Masjid al-Aqsa, obviously, and had the ability to
pray. And were you able to wander around freely in Al-Quds? Did you meet lots of Palestinians? Were you able to contribute to local businesses? And
sure. No, I was there for a very short period of time.
Sure.
But I just wanted to use my time just to come back, if that's possible, on the issue of just going for solidarity.
Yeah.
That's not the only issue, obviously. When people come back, they are much stronger. But also, it's to lay the Islamic claim to Masjid al-Aqsa. It's somewhere that we have the right to visit. It's somewhere that we should visit, but we have to have that. And that's why I said at the beginning of having that pragmatic approach, making sure that there's that differentiation between the Muslims in non-Muslim countries and those in Muslim majority countries.
But do you believe that when Muslims visit al-Aqsa, they're aware of all the pros and the cons of going? Mm-hmm. Are they educated, or are they just going there for a holiday or a pilgrimage?
Sure. Unfortunately, I would say that a lot of people aren't educated on the general issue. So it's they're going and they're coming back. What we need to do be in a process of actually understanding the political dynamics of what's going on, understand what they're seeing, what there is to see. So when they come back, they are more educated and much more active on the issue. Because as we've heard, it's absolutely right. We need to be boycotting, being the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement, really push that forward. And that's why when the OIC secretary went there and said we should visit, well, actually, if you're really sincere about this, you should be doing a lot more and calling for open boycott.
The problem is this. I'm not sort of saying that, you know, people should not go, or if they go, we should shun them. And many of my friends have gone.
Yeah.
But the point is this, that is not the issue. You know, we are something in the region of 15 million Muslims just in Europe. You know, if you're promoting that people should go, what, it should be sort of 1 million, 2 million a year going down there, it really is really ridiculous. I think what we need to do, we need to educate our community that they don't have to go there to find out what's going on. And they need to be educated. I mean, at the moment already in Britain, overwhelming majority of Muslims still don't boycott Israeli goods. To some extent, some non-Muslims are actually more vigorous in the way that they boycott Israeli goods. And even when it comes to month of Ramadan, I know we both are involved in sort of a campaign against dates and so forth. But really, I think what is important is to actually educate our community to be sort of supportive of our Palestinians as brothers.
In just about 30 seconds, Masood, do you think it's important that we have some Islamic unity on this issue? Because at the moment, we're all disagreeing to a certain extent.
We need to have Islamic, but I think there is a unity there. I mean, there is no difference between myself and the brothers' position as educating our community to take the issue of Palestine as one of the main priorities. But the reality is that, you know, I don't think that's going to come by a handful of people going there. I think we need to actually educate ourselves down here and find ways of actually bringing that commitment to bear.
We're going to continue this in a few minutes' time. Regular viewers will know that we really do our best here to cover the stories, the Palestinian stories, that the mainstream media ignores. So here's a quick roundup of what's been happening in Palestine.
The border crossing between Egypt and Gaza reopened for 3 days last week, but only students, patients, and people holding foreign residency were permitted to leave. This video shows hundreds of Palestinians trying to get through on the first day of the opening. Parents, children, and those with medical conditions rush to the gate in an attempt to make their way through the crossing and into Egypt. Roughly 1.8 million Palestinians live in the entirely blockaded Gaza Strip, much of which remains in ruins after Israel's assault last summer that killed over 2,200 Palestinians. Israel's Housing and Construction Ministry has allocated $215,000 for the expansion of an illegal settlement in the West Bank. A number of Palestinians have petitioned Israel's High Court over the matter, but their cases are still pending. It's thought that extremist settlers are trying to establish so-called facts on the ground ahead of the upcoming Israeli elections. An extremist settler ran over a five-year-old child with his car in the West Bank town of Tulkarem last week and then fled the scene. The child's family reported that the settler ran over their child, who's called Nabil Hassan Drobi. After being moved to a hospital, Nabil is now in a stable condition. And finally, a ministerial committee in Gaza has announced plans to prepare the enclave's sole seaport to allow Palestinians to travel abroad. Preparations are underway to launch within 2 months a boat service for the sick and students studying overseas. The port city in Gaza City is currently restricted to fishermen, whom Israel only allows to fish up to a maximum of 6 nautical miles from the shore. Israeli forces routinely fire on any vessel close to the outer limits.
Shamel, given that you've been to Al-Aqsa and to Al-Quds, what do you think Israel's position on this is? Do they want people to come to kind of show that they're being tolerant and letting people visit from outside? Or what do you think they believe?
Sure, I would say they would recommend people not to go. Because when, as I said,
they don't want people to
go. They would say they don't want people to go. Because when people go, they come back and see some kind of reality. Unfortunately, what happens during Ramadan, when more Muslims are going, during that period, the Israelis deliberately settle down. So those who don't have that broad education, they come back
to give a false picture of what's
that
happening.
That wasn't that bad. So we need to be...
And bringing this up to date, what actually is happening in Al-Aqsa now? I mean, you came on our show about 6 months ago and you kind of updated us on what's happening. Are the settlers still storming the site? Is there digging still going on?
Sure. Unfortunately, 2014 was the year when we had most incursions to Masjid Al-Aqsa ever in its history of occupation. Last year was the first time that they discussed in the Knesset, in the Israeli parliament, to divide Masjid Al-Aqsa and take sovereignty over Masjid Al-Aqsa. That's unfortunately coming into 2015. We've already seen a number of incursions by high-profile politicians, 45 of so the week last week. The incursions are increasing, but unfortunately now it's become almost so normal that it's not being reported about as much.
And
so
the final goal is to Judaize the whole site?
The whole area around East Jerusalem. And so this is something that we really need to keep an eye on and get active on. So we have the hashtag Hands of Al-Aqsa campaign just to raise that awareness throughout the UK.
And finally, Palestinians are still restricted from, Palestinians that are living there
Absolutely.
Are still restricted from getting in to pray in Al-Aqsa?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Masood?
Well, I think this is what I'm really concerned and worried about, that, when we go down there, either because of the fact that it's during the month of Ramadan or indeed because we're staying such a short time, we're not really educated. You know, I think your program actually exposes a lot more of the reality of what's going on there than, you know, what one would see in a short time. I really believe that what we are failing, all of us, Muslim activists, is actually to highlight exactly what's going on and highlight the ongoing oppression of the Palestinians and the fact that it's really urgent that something needs to be done. I mean, every day they're actually holding their grip further and further, and the time is running out, and we need to rise up to those challenges, be it the Muslims in the West or the Muslims in the Muslim world.
Yes. Would you concur, Shaman?
I definitely agree.
In terms of practical ways that Muslims in the West, especially given that we're broadcasting from the West, how can we help?
We definitely need to engage ourselves in activism, but strategic activism, get involved in a boycott, divestment, sanctions movement. There are plenty of organisations that are actually doing campaigning on the ground to make a practical change, lobby your parliamentarians. We have the Palestine Pledge with the 2015 elections coming up. Let's hold our parliamentarians account for them to actually do something, and let's not elect parliamentarians that are openly Zionist.
Obviously, in a few months' time, we have an election in this country. Is Palestine going to be even a small issue in it?
I wish it would be, but the reality is that, you know, I think the activism and political activism is not just once every 4 years at the time of election. Mm. We need to actually hold all our sort of executive accountable. And indeed, we need to really make a commitment to Palestine. The way it really needs to be done, it should be 24/7. And I think that's the challenge for us as activists, how we promote that.
Okay, well, thank you very much, gentlemen. I realize that there's a bit of a disagreement there, but a disagreement amongst friends, I think.
Yes,
both pro-Palestinian activists. Thank you very much for coming in. That was all the time we have for today. Once more, thank you to our guests. And don't forget to get busy on social media telling us of what you think of the issues raised in this program, please. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next time for more discussion and analysis on Palestine. Bye-bye.